Welcome, everybody. It has been a while. We're so excited to launch a new podcast season with State of the Thunder, a recurring bi-weekly open conversation with core developers and community members. State of the Thunder focuses primarily on desktop and mobile development, but it also touches topics like product and business direction, open protocols, and the role of Thunderbird in the wider open source ecosystem. In each episode, we also dedicate time to answer questions from the team and the wider community of contributors and supporters. Make sure to follow us on our social media or go to thunderbird.net/participate to learn more. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining the fourth edition of State of the Thunder. Once again, State of the Thunder is a bi-weekly open session where we discuss things about desktop and mobile development. We talk with core developers. We expose all the ins and outs of the things that we do inside Thunderbird. And we offer a venue to ask questions, discuss openly and honestly about what we're doing, why we're doing it, where are we failing, where are we succeeding, and all the things that are in between. So in this session, I wanted to touch base a little bit on the prioritization because, actually, let me share my screen first. If any of you is interested and you're not aware of this, you can go to developer.thunderbird.net and we have our published roadmap for desktop, Android. We have another interesting section about supporting standards. We're going to have also an iOS roadmap published there sooner rather than later. We're still in the experimentation phase for iOS, building our first alpha build. So we don't have everything there, but we're going to publish it. But in the roadmap specifically for desktop, you're going to see that there are some prioritization here for all our efforts for front-end, back-end priorities and all the other things. These prioritizations sometimes don't match the delivery quarter, and that's kind of normal. We don't usually, prioritization doesn't mean that it's the first thing that we're going to work on during the year. So something can be P1, but can be shipped in Q3 of next year or anything in between. And this is the little explanation overview for how we do prioritization and what does it mean when we put something in priority one, priority two, and priority three. So a little quick overview. Our prioritization encapsulates two adjacent meanings. One is the importance of that feature, how that feature impacts and helps Thunderbird or the entire organization to be successful, to onboard new users, to maintain user satisfaction, all the stuff. And the second meaning of the prioritization is which effort needs a higher degree of allocation of resources, how much time our core developers and the rest of the team, they need to spend on this specific effort. Prioritization doesn't mean we're doing things in order. Sometimes we have a P1 that happens next year, but we put it as a P1 because we know that that specific effort is impactful and good for the whole of Thunderbird, but also we know that for an entire year or however it's gonna take, multiple developers, a single person or whatever, multiple resources are primarily allocated to that effort, even if multiple things happens in terms of bug reports, regressions, or other things that we need to take care of. Nonetheless, that P1, the prioritization aspect feature, is always at the top of the list and anything else can fall apart. It's borderline impossible, or it has been in the past. This is a very honest statement right now. It has been almost impossible in the past years to complete all our efforts and all our prioritization that we always set at the beginning of the year or the end of the year, the prior year. We have very bold expectations and we really want to achieve something great, but reality hits us in the face where sometimes we're not very good at planning and we're not very good at figuring out dates and milestones and deliveries. So we end up at the end of the year before the release of the next CSR with a few efforts that we haven't finished and we keep dragging along. We need to stop doing that. We need to focus on what really matters, and everything else is the cherry on top. If we can get them done, it's great, but if we can't, at least the P1s are those that will get done. And that's how we structure last year and currently like this year's roadmap is, if everything goes south, if multiple issues and errors happens, at least the P1s are unmovable and we need to deliver those. And consequentially, at the same time, if by the end of the year, by the end of this roadmap, if even if we have 25 objectives and 3 P1s, if we only finish the P1s, we consider that a successful year. I know it's kind of like trying to plan for failure, maybe that's the perception that we might have, but we need to be very honest with how much we can do, how many resources we can allocate on a specific task, the complexity of the things that we are doing, and trying to keep the focus a little bit more on being proactive on the things that we want to achieve rather than being reactive to everything else that happens around us. Because of course, and that's totally normal, like our users will constantly ask us to fix, implement, and improve a million different things. We cannot constantly react right away on, yes, we'll do it. Yes, we'll fix that. Yes, we'll do it right away. We need to cherry pick what we can do and what we can't because of how very little, like few people we have around for specific objectives. So if we take a look at the top P1s, just the P1s for these years, you will notice that we've been trying to be very conservative, but not really, because these are massive efforts. So in terms of front-end priorities, the three P1s that we have in our roadmap are conversation view, the calendar user interface and user experience, and first-time user experience. So conversation view is tied to a global message database. We are working on it, and the effort is moving with patches that currently leverage the Glodo implementation, which sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we're preparing the stage from a front-end point of view to be able to switch to the new database. The calendar user interface and user experience, we did a fair amount of user research, and in the past 2 years, we put a lot of effort in rebuilding the mail space front-end with the new About 3 pane. It's in a state that is easily understandable, it's flexible, it's performant, it's comparable and competitive with our competitors in the same space. If we switch tab away from the mail space, everything else goes back to 1999. So we need to slowly continue this upgrade and using the same logic and the same modules and the same approach to all of this. And the calendar, based on our stats, based on our user adoption, the mail tab is the first and mostly used. Calendar is the second one right there. So sometimes we have users asking us, like, why don't you fix tasks? Why don't you fix chat? We know all of those things are in a somewhat terrible state. We need to update it, but we need to be pragmatic and we can only do one thing. And rebuilding the calendar or fixing the whole calendar UI and UX is a massive effort. It's not just, it's going to take us a couple of months. It takes us a lot. And the third one is the first-time user experience, which is currently, we are primarily focusing on the account tab. It's already in monthly releases or beta or daily. You can switch it on with a preference inside the settings. And from the second account moving forward, you can use the new account tab to create your account. So we are currently testing it and exposing it with the user. I think we switched the preference on by default for secondary accounts, so users will start consuming it. These are the top three priorities of front end. We have dozens of others. There are P2s like completing a unified toolbar, fixing our tabs, implementing a better integration with native operating systems. For example, we have a P2 that is scheduled for the fourth quarter of 2025, and we have native operating system notifications. This is something that is kind of almost done. I don't know if Jeff, you want to jump in and speak a little bit about it, but this is something that Jeff has as a top priority. Sorry, I'm going to call you out. If you don't want, I can cut your day out. But our staff engineer, backend staff engineer, top priority is the global message database. And a lot of things are happening and the work is being moved forward. But also we have a P2 for native OS notification. So in between, not just crunching and destroying their brains only exclusively on the global message database or while waiting for reviews, some other things are happening and fixing and improving native OS notifications. But if something goes wrong and things are not finished, or we have some terrible things or lack of resources, the native OS notifications will be dropped. And if it's not completed, it's not the end of the day. It's consumable, it's fine. Everything else will be redirected to the P1, a global message database. But it does not mean that multiple efforts cannot happen at once with a very cherry-pick pragmatic approach. So having three P1s doesn't mean that we're only doing P1s and we're not touching anything else until the P1s are finished, because we have some buffer times in between reviews, or sometime we need to take a break from the insanity of just doing the same thing over and over again for 6 months in a row and stuff like that. Jeff, is there anything that you want to add to this beautiful thing?
Yeah, just on the notifications, I don't really have an end goal for that, but I keep thinking of things and ways we could make them better. So as I get time, I am just working on that and making small improvements and more small improvements, and hopefully they just keep getting better and better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we identified this, and in the roadmap right now, we marked the native operating system notifications under the competition area, target area, because we saw, we're doing a little bit of marketing analysis, our competitors, especially native email clients like Apple Mail, they leverage a few little things from the notifications. You can archive an email directly from notification, mark it as spam, or delete it right away. But that's it. Like, there's not a very large leverage or complexity or list of features that are happening in those native OS notifications. But nonetheless, the fact that Thunderbird didn't have any of those, it was a glaring lack of competitiveness. It was like, even if the features of native notifications are just like a few and they're not that important, not having those is like, it's so glaring. It's such a, like a huge gap between us and Outlook or Apple Mail, or Spark, or any other like native email client that you can install on an operating system. So that's why we put that into the roadmap, but we didn't pour all the resources into it, and we didn't prioritize to a point and say we need to do it right away, because the return value is good, but it's not higher than the calendar, UI and UX, first time user experience and conversation view. At least that's what was decided between like exploration phases and competitive analysis and all this kind of stuff. Quickly jumping on the backend priorities, then I will shut up. I will open up for questions if anyone has questions, or we can jump to the moderator questions that we got during these days. For the backend priorities, same things. We only have three P1s. And these are massive. It's not something that is probably going to be finished this year. But the first P1 is the Exchange email support. We want to be very clear that it's Exchange email. We're not doing, for now, Exchange calendar or Exchange contacts or address books support. Hopefully, those are much easier to implement, and we're going to do it in a second round. But a P1 of implementing Exchange, we're very close. I think, if I'm not wrong, there is an expectation of be consumable by May 27th or something like that. We're already slipping a little bit. If you're looking at the roadmap, we set Exchange to be deliverable, delivered and consumable by the user by Q1. We are in Q2 of 2025, so apologies. We're getting there. The second one, which is probably the largest one, is implementing a new global database. The work is moving along steadily with a lot of progress, a lot of successes, and around September, probably we're going to start consuming it with the front end by implementing Conversation View. But also, this is such a large effort that we knew that we needed to maintain focus on this and not keep sliding other priority on top of this or changing focus or implementing something else. So we put that as a P1. And the last P1, which is a classic example of this, is a very important effort, but it's something that we cannot do right away, but we need to maintain the focus and allocating resources on this effort, is a new email encryption, which is a very scary sentence to say. As a general overview, maybe we can have a dedicated session about it. We can invite our security engineer to talk about this. We have a lot of open discussion on our mailing list. So if you're interested, you can check all of those. I'll put the links in the descriptions of these videos. But in general, one of our principles is to, at Thunderbird, is to offer a safe and encrypted communication means, like something that users can rely on to make sure that their communications, their personal communication, work communication, is private, encrypted, and cannot be spoofed, cannot be read by a third party, and all of that level of security that we want to guarantee. Unfortunately, the current state of email encryption is not welcoming, we use as a term. Using OpenPGP is very difficult. I'm sure I'm going to get a million messages from users that use OpenPGP, and they're going to tell me it's very easy. You're absolutely wrong. But the reality of the fact is that fully using and maintaining your personal keys, your public private keys, and make sure that you don't lose your keys and your keys, you don't lose your password protection of keys, or your YubiKey works properly, and you don't accidentally lock yourself out of your personal email account, is a reality that everyone stumbles, even security engineers that have been working with encryption for a long time. The current solution, S/MIME and OpenPGP, are not easily usable and not easily discoverable, and the learning curve is very steep for people that are not well versed in those areas, and that's a limitation that we want to try to solve. There are other people in the field, other companies like ProtonMail, that they solved it in a way that it helps the user to encrypt and to get like end-to-end encrypted communication by default. But we want to have something that is an actual standard, and it's better supported and sets the tone to how things should be done. And this is not something that we can just code and let's experiment and let's give it a try. This is something that needs proper planning, proper initial phase exploration, business strategy, marketing strategy. It needs MVPs. It needs validation of prototypes and ideas. It needs a lot of discussions with key roles and key members of the encryption community. So this is a P1 for us because it's part of our core, but it's also something that probably is going to see the light of day, the initial iteration around Q1 or Q2 of 2026. So in a year, more than a year, when we started this roadmap at the end of 2024. So this is the classic example of a top priority that doesn't mean that needs to be done right away. But nonetheless, we need to constantly think about something like that and put resources on that to continue the effort in perpetuity or from how long it takes. Yes, and we have a bunch of other P2 and P3 in the back end, of course, but all of these, as I said, if at the end of this year we check the 6 priority 1 efforts, that's a success. And I will declare the first year where we actually finished the things that we set to be, that we wanted to do during the year. It's going to be like a massive celebration. Everyone is going to be happy. And we are going to be, I don't know, take a 6 months vacation or something like that. Yeah, probably not. But yeah. We have a question in moderator. The question reads, why Thunderbird doesn't have a fully responsive UI? I want to run Thunderbird on my Linux tablets or phones. All right. Okay, this is a complicated, this could be a long-winded answer. Multiple reasons why we're not currently, and this doesn't mean that it will never happen, like currently we're not putting effort into a fully responsive UI, something that you can install Thunderbird on your tablet and it just shrinks down and you have now a smaller version or a phone version for your Linux phone or things like that. The first reason is primarily technical. Thunderbird doesn't support touch interfaces yet. That's a whole different complexity and implementation that we haven't had time to dive into it. Simple things like scroll with your finger up and down the folders list. It's not possible. Or like we have folder sort reordering or folder and message drag and drop. All of those actions are different from a mouse click and drag. Like using your fingers and touch interfaces, multi-touch, like two fingers, three finger taps, all of those, especially for Linux tablets, there's not a one-to-one translation to a mouse interaction that makes interacting with the UI extremely complicated. I don't think anyone in the team currently has a Linux laptop. A Linux tablet or a Linux phone. I might be wrong, but I don't think we consume it that way. There's also the other aspect of user interest and user adoption. We got this question probably, this is a very anecdotal, not scientific number, but I think I've been at Thunderbird for more than 6 years. I probably heard this question asked 10 or 12 times in total. Sometimes we have a bug when people asked, this doesn't work on my Linux phone. We have some social media post, but we have never seen a large request or a large demand on this type of implementation. And since we don't invade user privacy to learn how to use things, like we have telemetry, we have some like interaction points, but we're not as aggressive and intrusive as Google or Microsoft, where they know everything and how users know it. We rely on user feedback to understand how users use our application most of the time. And if the request of a fully responsive interface is not even in the top 50% of the requests that we get every month, unfortunately, it's logical for us to not delegate resources to that thing. And then there's the other aspect of we still have not a lot, but a fair amount of Zool layout elements that are not as flexible as a regular HTML CSS. It's much better recently. We're kind of like almost one-to-one, but still our interface, there are some areas of our interface where they're so old. As I said, like the current calendar, the calendar grid, like making the calendar grid responsive is a bit of a nightmare. We're going to look into it a little bit, but even like the tasks and the chat part, like all of this stuff were initially implemented and built without any responsive logic in mind. So it would be like a complete rebuild to make it happen. And Thunderbird, there's also like the the flip of the coin, right? Like Thunderbird is extremely powerful and customizable, and you have so many options and you can do a lot of things. But doing those things on a touch interface or on a tablet or a smaller screen, it's an absolute nightmare. Even the simple message header, when you read a message, like the header part on a tablet or on a phone, I saw screenshots from users that have tried to use it, so dense that is borderline impossible to use. So it's a completely different visual interaction paradigm that we haven't planned for it, and making it happen it would be, yeah, a huge relocation of resources for something that we're not actively pursuing. So in general, it's not a no as an answer, is a maybe not yet, maybe in the future, hopefully, once our interface is a lot more flexible, but we'll see. Let's move on. Dan, we got a couple of things. First of all, we released this information in our monthly development digest, but I wanted to give an official shout out here. If people don't read our mailing list or don't follow us on social media, I don't know what you're doing. If you're listening to this and you don't follow us on social media, but whatever, it might happen. The flow of information is insane. But finally, in monthly on the 139 version, which is currently beta, I think, and on daily, you can manually reorder folders in the folder pane. Is in a fairly good state. We still need to do a bit of polish, and hopefully we're going to get it done before the 140 ESR, the 140 branch kicks off. But I want to use this implementation, the manually sort order, to give a big shout out to one of our community members, contributors, Ita Gagaki. I hope I'm saying your name right, but incredible contributor, helped fix a lot of bugs, especially in the back end, both like for the front end and the C++ side of things. Amazing work. Thank you so much. Especially this implementation, there's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of reviews, a lot of changes, requests. So being a contributor at Thunderbird, like, we extremely appreciate anyone that submits a patch and a code. We feel bad sometimes in pushing back and asking for changes, because it's not as easy and straightforward to be inside a development cycle. But this user has been relentlessly good and always engaging in helpful conversation. And it's very active in Bugzilla, and it helps us debug things and fix things and implement new features. So I wanted to give a big shout out to them. And yes, hope to see more work and more features from this user, which is lovely. And yes, if you're on daily or beta 139, please start drag and dropping folders around, reorder them, and open bug reports if you have any bug report, if something doesn't work or you stumble upon any issue. And I think...
Is Monica here? And I had a question, if nobody else had this. As someone who gets a lot of those questions on socials or blog comments, especially when Monthly Development Digest, and I am so putting a link to that in the show notes, because if you're not reading that, what are you even doing? It's amazing, and I am so grateful. I'm going to shout out Toby and the desktop team, who is great at just getting that out. Anyway, when people ask, you know, kind of where is this feature? And I think you did a great job explaining, like, especially with conversation view, for things that are dependent on these huge kind of projects. Is there a way that you think, what are some of the ways that kind of you've thought that can, that we can do to hopefully let people know? It's like, it's not as easy as just changing this one thing. It depends on this huge rewrite of this enormous thing. So I just really be curious to know kind of what your thoughts have been as you've been doing this for, 6 years.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think like that's the balance, right? Like we don't want to announce efforts too early because we know maybe they're going to take like 6 to 9 months. And we don't want to hype the users too early because then the users, they're going to come back to us and ask, hey, you said that you were going to do this 6 months ago. What it is? Like, can I use it right now? But we don't want to even work on things without announcing them and let our users be caught by surprise. It's always that balance of how much we want to share in terms of technical limitation and complexity to users that, for better or for worse, they honestly don't care about those things. They just want to use the feature. They just want to use the product. So there's no answer to that. I think the thing that we're doing is hopefully kind of working. We're trying to be very front and center and open on the progress of things with the State of the Thunder, the Monthly Development Digest, the mailing list posts. Whenever we have an achievement or something that is happening and we scratch the surface of a large initiative, we post on our mailing list. So I would say for people that are extremely interested in seeing the progress as it happens, rather than waiting for the feature to be done, follow us on TB Planning or UX mailing list or TB Devs or TB Daily, especially the daily mailing list where we expose those features early and often. But there's not an easy answer there, especially because we cannot assume that all our audience is constantly looking at our flow of information, is constantly reading all our mailing lists or our social. So sometimes they read something about conversation view and then they accidentally don't check or they don't see any updates for 3 months. And then they remember, oh, conversation view, what happened to that? And the answer, well, still under development. The first gut reaction from a user is, oh, so you didn't do anything for 3 months, which is obviously not true. Things are still happening. But unless you are heavily involved in our community, it's difficult to keep track of everything. I'm more than open to suggestion on how to better expose these things to the user and make them especially digestible. That's why I call the Monthly Development Digest, because we don't want to share like a massive block of technical details of, oh, the GLOW indexing is actually based on MORC, and sometimes the index and the MORC database are out of sync and we need to force that. So when we force that, that's like people, I think 99% of the users, they don't care at all. It's just like gibberish. So how do we make this digestible without every month saying, we're still working on this, please wait? Like, how is it too much or how is it not enough? Like that balance is, I don't have an answer. It's very difficult to maintain.
Yeah, and that's, I feel that. I think one of the things, especially since I've gotten involved in the world of software, is I realize if there's a product that I use and they're like, yeah, we're working on this, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be that jerk who like drags them on social media and said, you said this was going to be ready. But I think that what we're doing with this, with the development digest, and also I think with our roadmaps is a really good first step. And I like the way that what we've done in the past, in some things we've done in the past, where it seems like we've tried to have like to keep the general conversation not super technical, like you were saying. But for the people who are interested, and to provide links to where those super technical discussions are happening. And I think, you know, no one is ever going to get it perfect, but I think at the very least that we're on the right track. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Thank you.
So,
yeah.
So thank you for answering that.
Anytime. Yeah, we're here for that. anyone has any other questions, anything to ask, or not even questions, anything that they want to add? Do you disagree with anything that I said? Well, you can also contradict me. It's totally fine. I don't have all the answers.
I just want to add to that last point. One of the things that I think users might find hard to deal with when we say, okay, we're going to add feature X, is we are trying, as we're adding features, to really go through and do them thoroughly and tidy up as we go. A lot of things that have been added to Thunderbird in the past have just been somebody wanted a feature, so they just threw it on top of everything that was there. And we have 25, 30 years of that to dig through. We're making a major effort over the last couple of years to kind of clean up stuff. So to add features on top of all that stuff, it takes a while before they reach the surface. So it might be, we might say, hey, look, feature X is coming. And it might be 6 months before we've actually cleaned up all the foundation work and built a stable platform to put feature X on. That is, there is a lot of technical crap in there that, yeah, most users don't care about at all. And is very hard to explain to people, even the ones who do care about it. It is difficult as a developer to try and surface stuff all the time and say, hey, look, this is what's going on. We're still working towards feature X. It's coming, but we're stuck in the weeds and we are not sure how long we're going to be here. Yeah, there is a lot of complexity in this code base.
Mm-hmm.
And some things just take an age to do, even though they appear simple.
Yeah.
As an example of that, I noticed every time we have something out in the media and there's comments on it from general people around the internet is, I would use Thunderbird, but the search sucks. It's like, we know the search sucks and we're trying to fix it, but fixing the search is a massive project to do it right. And we'd rather do it right than try and hack something together quickly just so we can appease some internet commenters who probably will then find another excuse not to use Thunderbird.
Yeah,
that's my rant.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, let it all out. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and there's the other aspect that I think we keep repeating, and it feels like we're using it as an excuse, but it's really not. There's a lot of like institutional knowledge inside Thunderbird that is completely missing. Because Thunderbird was built originally 24 years ago or something. And it's still like the foundation of everything for protocols and the basic architecture. It's all based on whatever people 20 years ago decided and sometimes didn't document and sometimes didn't even write tests for it. So when we set ourselves to implement a new feature or rebuild an existing feature, is always a lot of discovery on, oh, I didn't know Thunderbird used to do this, or I didn't know Thunderbird handles this data flow this way. Oh, we have the same interface implemented 5 times with slightly different names, but they do all the same things. There's a lot of like uncertainty. So even planning ahead and try to give dates.